Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. We are back after a nice long break. We've been enjoying watching some KU football, not paying attention to any baseball or anything. But anyway, we're back because you know what? We got hoops on TV. We got hoops on the court.
Kevin, let me interject
what,
here.
Hey, Andrew. Hey, what's up? What are you doing here?
I think people would believe you if you weren't paying attention to baseball. We absolutely were paying attention to baseball.
Yeah, we were. We figured you were too, the podcast listeners, most of you. So, you know, we didn't want to inundate you with, like, you know, podcast stuff. You're watching baseball.
But it was a hell of an October. You and I both had the opportunity to go to one of the World Series games, mm-hmm. and we absolutely had a blast. And yes. So congratulations to the Royals. Couldn't pull it out, but my whole sports circadian rhythm has been thrown off a little bit.
Agreed.
But I think that we can learn a couple things. I don't think we've mentioned him on the podcast, but there is a gentleman by the name of Sungwoo Lee,
mm-hmm.
who is from South Korea, who kind of became a cult hero because he was a fan of the Royals from South Korea, kind of through Twitter, started to meet some of the folks, and came over, and, you know, we won a bunch of games. So he came back over for the playoffs for the World Series, and, you know, good luck charm. So I think that you and I need to do this
mm-hmm.
for basketball.
Okay.
But we need to get become fans of Tyshawn Taylor's Ukrainian basketball team, or whatever team that he plays for now in Europe or wherever. I tried to look up where he is, and I can't remember. But whatever. Wherever he is or wherever he ends up, we need to become diehard fans. We need to learn Ukrainian and start chatting on Twitter with those folks. And then when they go to the Superliga Europopa Cup final championship,
right,
we can be invited over.
Get the royal treatment.
Like heroes in Kiev or wherever they're going to have this thing. So think about it.
I love it.
It requires a little bit of effort, but we should be the Sungwoo Lee of Tyshawn Taylor's basketball team.
I think that's a brilliant idea. So first of all, if we probably need to figure out what team it is.
That's probably step two. Like that's the second thing.
Okay.
First is, you know, decide to do it.
All right. I like
Then we learn where we're going. But yes. But anyway,
you joke, Andrew, but I really think we ought to do this. Like, I don't maybe, I think it should literally
you think
be
I'm
a
joking.
Thing.
I'm really not joking.
This would be I know. I think we should report back on this, you know, in a couple weeks and just let everyone know where we're at on our fandom of, you know, whatever team that is.
But Kevin, KU basketball has started.
Mm.
We are one exhibition game in. So we've got some catching up to do on this podcasting. Go ahead and give us a rundown of what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, man, we are packed full. We're going to talk a little Fran camp because we got to touch on that. We're going to do, Andrew, our KU basketball preview. And then we're going to do the KU basketball preview. We're going to play a couple games. One of them is the election game. I don't know what that is, but you've come up with it. Of course, it being election night today, recording on a Tuesday. We're going to give out, Andrew, our Jayhawk Talk preseason awards. We always do this every year before the season. And then we do a postseason. So, and we're almost always 100% right, as you know. We're also going to talk a little basketball power rankings and close with a little KU football and the Fighting Manginos returning to Lawrence. But first, let's talk a little about that Washburn game last night. I understand you had an interesting experience there going to the game.
I did. So, first of all, I left fairly early, but mm-hmm. apparently K-10 goes down to one lane on two occasions. So if, for those of you going to games in the near future, either leave incredibly early or did not take K-10. Second thing, and the most important thing, is I was parking at about 17th in Indiana.
Hey, get a parking pass, spot. You cheapskate.
I know. I just need to get a parking pass. Well, I was just driving around down there, and I clipped one of those roundabouts in those you know, those that residential area.
Yeah.
And literally popped my tire.
Those roundabouts are so small.
And so it literally popped the tire. So I'm like, this is my worst nightmare. It was literally a nightmare. And then it started raining. So I'm out there trying to change my tire, put the little donut on there. Uh-huh. Luckily, a friend of the podcast and a very good follow on Twitter, pay_heed,
uh-huh,
came out and helped. But we got on there. It took us about an hour because we are kind of idiots. And it was dark and raining and couldn't see anything. And it was a little complicated, more complicated than you think. But got it in there. So eventually got into Allen Fieldhouse with 14 minutes left in the second half.
Oh, no. You missed all the good basketball.
There were people leaving the game as I was walking in. And so I went through the door. And they had to go find out to scan my ticket because they just got rid of them all. They don't need them after second half or wherever. So I go, "Oh, somebody go get a scanner." They scanned me in. So I got to watch the last 14 minutes of sloppy basketball. But I got in there for a pretty good Oubre dunk.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. Little breakaway Oubre dunk. Sviatoslav 3. Okay. That was good. So I got to see some good stuff. I was thinking about just going home saying, like, this is not worth it. But you know what? I'm there. I got to go reward myself. I got to go calm myself down by watching a little bit of basketball.
I'm glad you made it.
So anyway, I got to see a little bit of it.
All right. You missed most of the good basketball.
That's what I heard. So tell me about the Bob Chipman Washburn from the TV. What do you think about it?
Oh, you know, so here's the deal. You know, I'm from Topeka, as you know. Big Washburn fan. Went to law school there at Washburn. You know, every year we played Washburn, like when I was at KU. It was one of those things, like, everyone was, like, booing, going nuts. I was like, come on, guys, it's Washburn. we don't need it. But I do appreciate the practice. I saw a lot of signs, like, we're going to Washburn you out of our building, and, like, all these things. Like, you know, it's practice. It's preseason for everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
You know, it's an exhibition.
Yeah, it's exhibition for the sign makers, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's how I got the feel. You know, it's a good thing to have a couple games to warm up. We all need that, including here on the podcast. But I started tweeting about some things about Bob Chipman on Twitter, who I'd known for years going back to when I was a kid and went to all his basketball camps, a family friend. And I said, hey, fun fact, one time I played craps with Bob Chipman on New Year's Eve. And like 10 people responded and were like, wait, what? Tell me more. So our good friend at Taylor Erickson on Twitter, a good follow, said, you got to tell the story on the podcast. So it's an interesting story. I can't tell, unfortunately, all the details, but the moral of the story is I was up at good old Prairie Band Casino north of Topeka with my wife at the time, my fiance, and we decided, you know what? Forget going to a party. We're going to go to stay at a casino. I had a free night, whatever. We're going to go stay there and party on New Year's, and I'll be damned if I walk up to the craps table and sit there next to Bob Chipman, and he and I are talking basketball and all kinds of stuff, and the night goes on, and there's more and more drinks and more partying and revelry. And I look down on my bet, and my bet's gone. And I'm like, where'd my bet go? And I look at the dealers. The dealer's like, I didn't take it. I'm like, okay, well, I just had a bet there. And it was like one of those things, like, I don't want to make a big deal because you don't want to slow the dice down. You know how craps works and everything. But
did
I was like,
Bob
listen.
Chipman take your bet?
I have like $25 down there, and it disappeared.
What?
And they literally go, all right, we'll look at the video. And sure enough, Bob Chipman swiped my bet on accident.
Whoa, okay.
I'm sure. But really funny that Bob Chipman stole my money on New Year's Eve at a craps table. So there you go. If that
luckily
endears,
he did not steal this win in exhibition season. Hey, that was terrible.
Yeah,
that was terrible.
Up. We're warming up.
It's exhibition season for us too. Bear with us, folks. Our jokes will get better. That one was not good. But tell me about the from TV. You watched on TV. You just give me your bare bones. What do you think about the game last night?
You know, I don't think you can take a damn thing away from the game. Except, you know, I don't know. Washburn was like, their tallest guy was like 6'6". So our bigs just dominated. It wasn't even, you know, really a contest on that front. But, a couple things you could take away, honestly, is that Devontae Graham looks as advertised. He played some really good defense, moves well. He's longer than I expected, real long on the defensive side. Played really well. He's definitely going to get some minutes this year, serious minutes this year. And obviously, everyone was talking about Cliff after the game. I think, you know, again, it was tough to gauge how he looked against a bunch of, you know, short white dudes. But what you can gauge is that he wasn't afraid of anything. Didn't look like there were any jitters at all. Ran like crazy, you know, played like crazy, has a huge motor. I mean, you could tell that he's just going to be one of those guys that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And even if he's playing through mistakes, he's going to play his butt off through mistakes. And I think a lot of fans will really enjoy that. I think you'll see some comparisons to like a Thomas Robinson because of those things. Good rebounder. He's pretty short though. I mean, he plays longer than he is, but you could see him next to Sviatoslav and next to Oubre. He ain't much taller than either one of them. Maybe like an inch. But he obviously plays big, huge body, broad shoulders. I don't know if you have seen him up close, Andrew, but if I told you, hey, look at that guy. He's a 34-year-old. Would you go, no, he's 18 or 19?
I'd believe you.
Which one would you go with? Would you go with 18 or 19 or 34?
34.
I would too. That dude looks like a monster. He looks so old, but he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Other than that, honestly, there wasn't a whole lot. Sviatoslav, one thing I guess you can't say, we haven't really seen him much except for in videos and stuff. He moves really well for his frame. I was really excited about watching him, honestly, on the defensive side. He's going to get minutes as well. Does not look like a 17-year-old, at least from the basketball sense, from IQ, from moving the ball, from moving without the ball, things like that. I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch, but definitely needs some upper body strength.
He may be underdog for becoming my favorite player. You know, the dude I root for.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so too. It's a great story.
Wiggins was my boy last year.
Well, that's
right. He was my guy. He was my guy. But Sviatoslav, he's in the running after that game last night.
Yeah.
So last night, I mean, I agree with you. Not a whole lot to take away from it. It was a fun game. They were literally just trying to get their bearings. Before we move on to the preview, or the preview, and then the preview,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about our dearly departed friend, local kid, Connor Frankamp, who last Friday decided to leave the program and transfer elsewhere. Kevin, are you surprised that he's leaving?
No, I'm really not. I'm surprised that it happened 4 days before the season started, but what I was not surprised of is that he was leaving. I think we had heard, you and I, and I think just about anybody who has an ear to the KU basketball program or lives in Wichita for that matter, has heard that he and his family weren't too excited about the way he was handled last year, with the amount of minutes he played, the offense they ran with him in the game, things like that. So I don't know if it was him. Might have been more of like a basketball dad syndrome. We've seen this play out several times in college basketball and especially in our program. Good old David Pageant's dad, remember that? They wanted him to play more on the perimeter. And Micah Downs' dad, who thought he was the number one draft pick.
Yeah, when you get that invitation or that my dad and I would like to sit down with you, like that's not a good sign.
Like, and that's exactly what happened, it sounds like. He sat down with him, with his dad, in the office with Self. So, I don't know. What about you?
I'm not surprised. You know, I had heard rumblings. It's not like you and I know more than anybody else. But, like, we hear things. You all hear things.
Mm-hmm.
What I had heard is that earlier this summer, there was talks of him maybe headed elsewhere. But then I didn't hear anything about it, until last week. So, I figured that, you know, maybe he settled down. Decided that that's where he wanted to be, but apparently not. You know, apparently the writing was on the wall that maybe his playing time or his role on the team was not going to be what he wanted this year. So I needed to get it out of the way before he played any minutes. You know, this semester. I don't think actually wouldn't think it matters, but
I don't think it
gives him time to get transferred to another school and get moved over at the end of the semester. But I'm really not surprised, but I'm pretty disappointed, you know, because he could have been a guy who, you know, honestly would be Mr. Jayhawk, Mr. KU basketball, as a junior and senior, if things went right, you know, he could be remembered as, you know, one of these local guys who, you know, comes in and is kind of immortalized forever. And so he kind of misses out on that opportunity, whether it would have happened or not. But that's kind of disappointing. And we definitely have some experience on the team next year. But if you think about it, we still got a lot of young guys. And is that situation going to change when he is a junior and senior? You know, as a 6 foot nothing guy who, you know, has often struggled on defense. Often struggled on defense, and you know, really his game is the 3-point shot. Is there going to be an opportunity for him to play above some folks who, you know, maybe are a little more skilled at multiple things?
No, I mean, we saw last night. There's no way he was going to scratch the lineup with these guys. I mean, it sucks for him truly, and I get why he left. I mean, but I didn't know that until you watch some of these guys. Frank Mason looks awesome. I mean,
he does.
Graham looks like he's going to be a true player for this team for a long time. And you look at the wings. I mean, is he going to play over Kelly Oubre and Sviatoslav? I mean, they look pretty good. I think Oubre is pretty raw, but you know, you match these two guys up athletically and stand next to each other, man. I mean, which one are you going to pick on the team?
And I've heard, you know, rumors. I mean, I hate this podcast to just be, you know, I heard rumors, but, you know, from folks inside the program, and, you know, take this for what it's worth, have said that Sviatoslav's handles are so good that there could be opportunities for him to do some, not necessarily be the point guard, but some significant perimeter ball handling, where, you know, you wouldn't think somebody like that would have that opportunity. So, you know, maybe he turns into a 6'8" point guard in the future, or at least has that opportunity. That'd be great. And from what I saw last night, he certainly had the confidence of making those passes, didn't hesitate on those entry passes, at least from what I saw in the second half. and from what I heard on Bob Davis on the radio.
Yeah.
But let's jump into real quick. Where do you think he'll transfer to?
You hear a lot of local schools, Wichita State, Creighton, you know, places like that. I don't know. I think a lot of locals would like to see him end up at Wichita State. I don't have a prediction, but I don't know that he's really going to be. I think for him to be in a place that he likes and his dad likes, he needs to go somewhere where they're going to let him be a volume shooter just like he was in high school. Because that's when he's good, honestly. It's when he can run the offense and be able to create for himself and post up and shoot threes and be a volume shooter. He's not going to be able to do that at KU. And I don't think he'll be able to do it at Wichita State either. So I think he goes somewhere smaller, maybe a Valley school. Obviously, it's still a Valley school in Wichita State. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Creighton one makes the most sense. What about you?
My prediction is Creighton.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first, folks. Connor Frankamp to Creighton University. You can credit us with that when it happens. And if it doesn't, we'll just, you know, take this podcast off the internet. Andrew, are you ready to do a little KU basketball preview?
Okay, so in the past, we've always done a preview to the preview because we haven't been ready for the preview. We're going to cram it all into one episode today where we're going to do the preview. And then the actual legitimate KU basketball preview. So let's go ahead and start the preview.
Okay.
Let's just end it there. Let's go right into the preview. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about roster construction.
Hang obviously, on, Andrew, you Andrew, know, Andrew, Andrew, I have something for the fans here. You're not going to be able to hear it, but we're just going to.
I'm out.
We're just going to play this underneath while we're talking. All right. Go ahead.
I'm excited for KU basketball, Kevin. It's the best time of year. It's kind of like the year starts over. You know, we should really have a party, kind of like a New Year's party, but, you know, November 1st-ish, or maybe this is the first game where, you know, it's time for KU basketball. Time to go outside in that crisp weather, walk into the field house with the lights, you know, shooting up on the walls. Walk in, you kind of hear the rumbling. That's what this season is all about. So I am excited about this team, especially because we've got a lot of new faces. But let's talk about the roster a little bit, Kevin. tell me about some of the outgoing guys. It's kind of daunting to look at all of these players leaving and to think that we have any shot this year. So tell us who we lost.
I mean, obviously Wiggins and Embiid are the two, you know, top three draft picks. How do you recover from that? Not only do you lose those two, but you lose Tarik Black, who's now made an NBA roster. You lose Andrew White, the third, the last Andrew on the team. Sorry.
Wait, we don't have an Andrew on the team anymore.
No, we don't have. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Maybe Sviatoslav means Andrew in Ukrainian.
It does not.
Okay, well, that was a try. Nadir Tharp also gone, obviously, and now Connor Francamp. So lose a lot of guys there.
That's about half the team.
Yeah, feels like it.
But we've got a lot of good guys coming in. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about Cliff Alexander, Kelly Oubre, Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk, and Devontae Graham. Quite the recruiting class, Kevin.
Yeah, really good. I mean, three guys that ended up being five-star recruits, and Devontae Graham, who moved all the way up to four stars and probably is going to be just as big a contributor than the other three when it's all said and done this year. I mean, that's the crazy part. All four of these guys are going to get a lot of minutes, potentially two and maybe three starters in this group when it's all said and done. It's a big group and maybe one of, you know, could end up being one of Bill Self's best recruiting classes, at the end of the year and into the future. So we'll see. Cliff Alexander, obviously we talked about a little bit. Kelly didn't have much of a, you know, a huge impact on that game yesterday, but, he's so good and so raw. He's going to attack the basket. I think KU fans are going to love him.
He had a big dunk. I got to see the dunk.
He did have a big dunk. And you know, one of two dunks yesterday, I feel like we need to have a few more dunks against Washburn. Wouldn't you agree?
That's definitely in my game plan that I'm sending to the team.
Yeah.
You know, my notes, I write notes to the team.
Yeah.
That's number one on the list.
More dunks. Perry almost had a dunk, but then he didn't cause he's Perry. I'm actually going to keep track of Perry Ellis dunks this year, like a running tally.
That might encourage him to be a little more aggressive.
I'd like to hear an over under. I want you to set the line on Perry Ellis dunks this year.
The whole season.
Yeah, the whole season.
So like this goes into the tournament.
All right, let's end it at the regular season.
Okay. 10.
I'll take the over.
He's like, "Oh, see, you're the guy who I thought that was a fair number."
I think it is too, but it's cool. I was honestly going to say 10 or 11 when I was thinking about it. So that's, there you go. Okay,
so like let's say one every other game. I mean, that puts him at like 14.
Right? 15.
Well, maybe 15. So what if I set the number at 15?
Under.
So what if I set the number at 12?
Under. I think it's okay, right there.
Okay, so this is how you set Las Vegas over-unders, folks. Is you talk to Kevin and have him go, that's when you know you have the right number.
All right, so I'm actually literally going to keep track of that. And every time he dunks the ball, I go bonkers on Twitter, and now people have started to respond with Perry Dunk every time Perry dunks, which I really appreciate.
Hashtag Perry Dunk.
Hashtag Perry Dunk.
Okay, so we saw the lineup yesterday, but lineup yesterday doesn't really matter. I think the question everybody's going to be asking is, because we're going to have to be 100% for this game, is what is the starting lineup? And, you know, if you have an answer to the question of what's the rotation like for that Kentucky game.
Yeah, that's coming up. It's coming up real fast.
It's 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
We're recording on a Tuesday, November 4th.
Hard to believe. I think there's a couple obvious guys, and then I think we need to fill in the spot. So Ellis, Seldon, and Mason seem like guarantees to me. Would you agree with those three?
I do. I agree.
So we're missing the three and the five. And the two candidates for the five to me are obviously Cliff and Jamari. I don't think Lucas is going to be in that conversation. So it's kind of one of those things. Bill generally goes with his vets to start the year, but will Cliff make a big enough jump between now and then to get the start? Honestly, I don't know. I think that's going to be a close one. And the three, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. And I think it might end up being one of those things this year, Andrew, that since we're so deep at these two positions, especially at the with the wings and the guards, I think we're going to see a whole lot of interchanging and some playing the hot hand and some things like that. But so it may not matter, kind of one of those things, who starts the game, who finishes the game or whatever. But I guess I'll throw my shot out there with Cliff starting, and I'm actually going to go with Graham starting at the other guard spot. Kind of an interesting lineup.
Interchanging 1-2-3 of Mason, Seldon, Graham.
Graham, for the correct. Kentucky game. The three is more of a, you know, gray position.
It all kind of interchanges.
Anyway. Yeah. So that's interesting. My guess.
I don't know if I would have picked Graham. I think if I'm going to pick a freshman, I'm going to pick Oubre for the three spot there, just because we're gonna need some size against Kentucky.
That's a good point.
And so that may just be a game by game thing. But yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, these are rich people problems.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. These are first world problems of when your biggest issue is depth. These are good problems to have, but you know, certainly going to be a talking point throughout the whole year.
And we've had these situations before. We're like, man, this team is so deep, and then you get into it, and it ends up not being that deep, or maybe you know, Self ends up making it an 8-man rotation real fast. I just don't see how that happens this year. I mean, there's just too many guys that are just going to battle for a time because they're. Honestly, they probably deserve it, and they add something to the lineup. The only thing that scares me a little bit is just at the post position. You know, we don't have a true rim protector this year. We don't have a ton of size unless you're bringing Lucas in the game and Mickelson in the game, which I don't think are going to get crazy minutes this year. So it's a little different, at least on the big side. We haven't had that, you know, void as a rim protector in a while, but at the same time, they're going to be kind of a fun team to watch because they can interchange and do a lot of crazy things. Andrew, who's going to be the starting lineup for the Baylor game? This is the first Big 12 game. So now you see a little bit more. You know what your team's like. You're what ready to make some moves. A freshman maybe getting some minutes. Who you got?
I think it's the same one that I just went through. Frank Mason, Kelly Oubre, Perry, and Cliff. I think that's going to be the rotation that starts at the beginning of the year.
I think you're right. I said in
the middle of the year, in the middle of Big 12 season, or beginning of Big 12 season, when you know you're supposed to have your roster locked down on how things are supposed to go. Those are going to be the five guys who hit the floor first. But I think that there's a lot of minutes to go around.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. By this point, talent wins out, you know, and I think those five probably give us the most, you know, the most talented lineup. So I agree with you. I think we'll see a few freshmen in there.
I've got a minor prediction. You know, okay. I think we're saying that Cliff's going to be, you know, the starter. But I think that we have to say a little bit about Jamari. I think Jamari's going to have a huge season.
Yeah.
So minor prediction, Jamari, huge season. We're going to look back at this season and say, wow, Jamari turned into, you know, just kept getting better and better, turned into a monster. Look out for Jamari this season.
Kind of like but a Darnell just a, Jackson type of, you know, just yeah. kept he's, getting better.
I think he's going to have a great season. But
I agree with you.
small prediction. But let's get into some more bold predictions, Kevin. Mm. Seems like you have a couple bold predictions. Let's hear a couple.
These are sort of bold. The number one, and this really isn't bold at all, but number one, Cliff is going to block a ball into your section this year is my...
Really?
That's not really a bold prediction.
Section two?
Yeah, so how many rows
all
up are you?
All the way up section two? Well, because we're in the second section.
Yeah, just guess.
21 rows up in the second total, probably 40.
Yeah, so he's going to block one into your section, 40 rows up this year. I don't think that's that bold, actually. It's more of a kind of a semi-bold or light bold prediction. Would you agree, though? Is he going to block 140 rows up this year?
I could see that happening. My bold prediction along the same lines is that he may tear down a backboard this year.
God, I hope so.
If there's anyone who does it in college basketball this year or, you know, in the next 5 years, I think it's going to be Cliff Alexander.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that he cares. He's not going to back off on his on his strength trying to pull down. We almost saw the backboard come off its hinges last night. He blocked it off the backboard. He blocked the ball off the backboard. Just think if he gets an opportunity to throw one down, I think it's going to, you know, come off its hinges.
He's got like Larry Johnson Monstar strength.
That's good.
Thanks.
That's good.
Thanks. See, we're coming on. You know, as we get through the podcast.
If you can't really tear down a basketball goal like you could, you remember Shaq tore down a bunch in the early 90s.
Sure.
I think that that's going to be put to the test this year.
I like it.
All right, give us a new prediction. Another bold prediction from Kevin.
Here you go. I think that Devontae Graham and Frank Mason are going to be on the floor quite a bit together. I think they're going to complement each other quite a bit. And then I honestly think that will be those two will be in the lineup together late in games where it's close and we're needing to, you know, like take care of the basketball and be able to move things around on offense. I like those two on the floor together. So Graham and Mason, you know, going to log quite a few minutes together. It's not going to be one of those backup situations where Graham's only in when Mason's out. I see those two playing quite a bit together in kind of a combo guard situation. What do you think of that?
I think that's true. We've heard Bill say this, that, you know, those two short guys are, you know, they're not that short. I mean, but two guys who traditionally on a Kansas roster wouldn't play at the same time. They'd kind of come in for each other. But, you know, this is a different team. I think we're going to have to utilize a lot of speed, utilize some quick defense and, you know, interior passing. And with those two guys on the floor, especially at the end of the game to close it out, don't want any turnovers. Those are the two guys you're going to go to.
Here's another one. And I want you to first say, who's going to lead the team in scoring?
Perry Ellis.
Okay, I agree. We'll just move on from that. I think most people agree with that.
I've got another bold prediction that kind of goes along what you had just said.
Okay.
I think that Hunter Mickelson will get some minutes at the end of a game to kind of close it out when more defense is needed. So I think that he could sub in.
I disagree.
For Cliff. Well, just I think that this is bold prediction.
This is very
bold. This could happen. It's kind of like a Tom Thibodeau deal where, no, just hear me out.
I'm listening.
Who's the guy they bring in? They bring Taj Gibson in the fourth quarter in front of Pau Gasol just for defense. Like, I think that there could be stretch situations where he's going to be needed as a stopper. Towards the end of a game. I don't think he gets tons of minutes, but I think that that could be a strategy they use.
I think the only minutes late in the game he's getting is when he's in there with Tyler Self.
That's more likely, but once again, we're going bold prediction.
We are going bold here. I like it. I like the call. I'm not making fun of the call. I just disagree with it. I like Hunter Mickelson. I hope he's really good, but I do not see it. Let's talk about one last one here. This is kind of a sad one, but I think it's true. I think that Brandon Green, who averaged 6 minutes last year, is going to be the odd man out again this year. What do you think of that?
I hope it's not true, but it depends on, you know, that wing spot is just really full.
Yeah.
There's just so many good players. And if Sviatoslav turns into, you know, this phenom that he's supposed to be, there's not going to be a whole lot there. That being said, I think he gets his fair share of minutes. Maybe not his fair share, but he's definitely going to play.
All right. Well, Andrew, this is the point in the podcast where we talk a little schedule. It's really boring podcasting talking about the schedule, but I do want to get it out there. Here's a few things. This is, of course, just the non-con schedule because we will do a full-blown Big 12 preview podcast. But I just want to say our first game here is 11-14, and then we just get rolling. I mean, it's just one of those things, man. It's like you know, we're in football season right now, and we play, you know, obviously we had the World Series and all that stuff, but football season, you know, you kind of get used to just going throughout the week, you know, Monday, you know, some football, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, not much going on. Man, college basketball season, something was on every night. I cannot wait. 11-14, UC Santa Barbara, our first home game. What do you got
this
there?
This is not, that's not a throwaway game. Okay, that's, that is, this is not one of those, you know, first game of the season UTEP or first game of the season High Point or whatever.
Right.
They've got a player by the name of Alan Williams, who's a double-double machine. Friends of the podcast, Matt Norlander, ranked him in his top 100 players in college basketball, number 40.
Wow.
So a guy from the Big West gets into this big boy top 100 list, says something about him. So we're going to have to play some post defense, and we're going to be tested on the post from a defensive perspective, you know, in really early. And by early, I mean the very first regular season game, we will be tested by a player who is a, you know, NBA prospect. He could be playing in the NBA next year, you know, on the post. So they're going to be tested. Jamari's going to be tested. Cliff's going to be tested. So it's not going to be an easy one.
Interesting. Well, 4 days later, we got the Kentucky game, Champions Classic. There's going to be a lot of talk about that growing as we get closer. Two top five teams. Kentucky's obviously reloaded once again. A lot of good players. Again, preseason number one. Not sure if they'll live up to that again, but it will be interesting to see. It's going to be, I'm kind of glad we're catching them in their second or third game and not middle of the season. Of course, they could probably say the same thing about us. So that will be an interesting one. We will talk a ton about that when we get a little closer. Then we got Ryder, and then we go to Orlando, Andrew, over Thanksgiving. We got Rhode Island and then either Tennessee or Santa Clara. After that, it's TBA. And, you know, the most likely scenario is that we play Michigan State, who's ranked 18th right now. And that would be on that Sunday, the 11:30. So that would be a fun game on a Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, this will be a this is the first time we've been to Orlando in a while, or at least at all. This is not normally on our rotation of preseason tournaments, but some good teams. Seems like Tennessee pops up in these tournaments. They must be on the same kind of rotation as us, and we really never get to play them. They're always, you know, we might get to play Tennessee, so maybe we will this year. But it'll be a fun one, and especially over Thanksgiving.
I'll be in Vegas for these games.
Ooh.
How about that?
Throw down some money?
No. What? No.
Yeah. But then we move on. So what's maybe the biggest game of our non-conference is Florida at home. Obviously, we lost to Florida last year in what was kind of a messy, crazy game where it was the lowest of the lows and the highest of the highs, where we were down a lot. Wiggins brought us back, and we ended up losing. But, you know, Florida's good this year. They're ranked number 7. Got Chris Walker. He'll be a sophomore this year. He'll be back. So once again, from the post, tested early, but certainly a test for the whole team. But this year, we get him in Allen Fieldhouse.
That's right. And then we go to Georgetown, our first true road game. 5 days later, this is 12-10. That'll be an interesting game. Unfortunately, just two true road games on the non-con schedule, a little different than last year. 12-13, we got Utah on the Sprint Center. A week later, Louisiana Lafayette. Then, as I mentioned, we go to Temple, Kent State, and then we close out our non-con schedule with a game against the Running Rebels of UNLV at home. I think, Andrew, this is a home-and-home UNLV. I can't remember if we're scheduled to go to UNLV next year or the year after. But when we do, I think you and I need to take a little trip out to the Thomas and Mack Center there in Vegas to watch the KU. Don't you think?
Usually, we only get to go out there for those preseason tournaments, but if they can give us an excuse to go out there more than once every four years to watch KU basketball, I'm all about it.
Let's do it. All right. So there's the rundown. I cannot remember how many games there are, but as I count them, I want you to tell me how many losses we're going to have on our non-con schedule.
I think just one.
Really?
That's what I'm going with.
So that's a 13-game schedule. You got 12-1 out at the gate, huh?
I do.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
Well, obviously you would. Yeah. I mean, obviously you would.
That would mean that you beat either Florida or Kentucky, most likely. And that's, you know, honestly, I'll take either one of those. I think Kentucky game is going to be extremely hard. And I see us losing that game, unfortunately. But I think it'll be close. And then, honestly, I think we might have one more loss on the schedule. I got us losing two, but even that's not, you know, still not too bad. So pretty good schedule, not quite near what we had last year to start the non-con, but still some really tough games with Florida and Kentucky in there, Georgetown on the road, UNLV, potentially Michigan State, Tennessee, Santa Clara. So some good teams, Utah on the non-con schedule, Andrew. You know, hey, it's election day. I got coverage going on here. We got Greg Orman on the screen. Do you have some election day notes you'd like to give to us?
In the spirit of our, you know, national pastime, which it really is, watching election ads and voting.
Sure.
I would like to just ask you a couple questions. But you're gonna cast your ballot. Yes, he's holding up a t-shirt that says USA. So you're going to do your civic duty today, Kevin.
I'm wearing a USA t-shirt.
I'm going to ask you, we'll go through this ballot here for KU basketball.
All right.
And you're going to cast your vote.
I've not seen this. I don't know what's coming.
You're casting your vote for governor. And this is, who do you think the leader of this basketball team is? So cast your vote for governor.
Governor
of this team.
Wayne Selden is the governor of this team. For sure. Seems to be the vocal leader. Going to be a, you know, kind of a court leader as well. I see him being the guy putting his arms around everyone, bringing them together. But runner up when he's on the court, Devontae Graham. Okay. Lieutenant Governor Devontae Graham.
Lieutenant Governor Devontae Graham.
Yeah.
Number two, cast your vote for treasurer. And this is the guy who will make the most money in the NBA. Cast your vote.
Ooh.
Treasurer.
That's tough.
Which I'm asking you, who will be the best NBA player?
Wild card? I'm going to go wild card here and say Sviatoslav.
Ooh.
How about that?
That's a good vote.
I think Cliff is a little bit too much of a tweener, and Oubre would be the next most likely, I think, on this team. But I'll take Sviatoslav. What do you think of that? Who's your vote?
I was going to say Oubre.
Okay,
but
that's fair. Those are the two I was between. All right.
But I, you know what? Sviatoslav didn't even cross my mind. I think I'm going to change my vote. Change my vote. I'm going to erase it. You can do that until you push submit. Voted today. All right. Number three. Got a couple more for you. This is probably my favorite category to vote for. And this is for the position of dog catcher. Because, you know, in some counties, you vote for dog catcher. I don't know if you knew that. Kansas is weird.
That.
Yeah, Kansas is weird. You vote for dog catcher.
All right.
And this is the guy who will guard the other team's best player.
Ooh.
And I don't know if it's perimeter. Let's say perimeter player. Who's going to guard the other team's best perimeter player? A Travis Relaford type, you know, a Brady Morningstar type, you know, a guy who's going to guard the best player.
Man, that's tough.
The best scorer. Let's say a guy who's 6'6", score a lot of points. Who do we have? Who is the dog catcher on the team?
Well, you know, it's as a process of elimination, it's got to be somebody who's going to log a lot of minutes, because you're not going to put some guy out there just because. And so in that vein, I think I'm going to go with Selden here, just because he's a guy who's going to be on the court for 30 minutes anyway. You know, he's pretty long. He looks a lot more explosive this year than last year. You know, last year he did not have that athleticism that we saw in high school watching his tapes. I think he's got a lot of that explosiveness back and seems to be moving really well on that knee, back and forth laterally and up and down. So I'll go with him, even though we haven't seen it yet.
All right. So Wayne doesn't have a solid nickname that's really stuck for him. Do you think dog catcher is a good nickname?
I don't think so.
You think that'll catch on?
I don't think it
Wayne
will.
Wayne Selden for dog catcher. You know, because they had the folks that used to have the Bill Self for president. We should have signs out there. For Emporia State coming up, it's a Wayne Selden for dog catcher.
Here's a little funny side story. When I went up to Iowa State and sat behind the bench, like 4 or 5 years ago, it was the first year that Hoiberg was coach, and I bought some tickets on StubHub or something for like $300 a piece, but they were literally right behind the Iowa State bench. And I was wearing KU stuff, and my buddies were wearing KU stuff, and we were the only KU people anywhere near the bottom of the stands. And we were literally right behind the Iowa State bench. And we had had a couple of beverages, shocking. And we started saying, you know, just calling him the mayor, because, you know, he's the mayor, Hoiberg. And because we'd had a few drinks, we started naming the rest of the team and giving them positions. And the only one I remember was the assistant coach. We named him director of urban planning. that was the only one I remember. But okay. it was pretty funny. I do also remember the people there going, who gave you these tickets? Where did you get these tickets? Like getting mad because we were cheering for KU and being obnoxious. And I go, I'm Hoiberg's cousin. And they're like, oh, sorry. Sorry.
You're royalty. You're royalty.
It was really funny.
Okay. I should have ended on the dog catcher one. Cause
yeah, you should have.
The funniest one. But the last one is insurance commissioner. Not Sandy Prager, but who's going to be the insurance commissioner for the Kansas Jayhawks? And that is the player who is the best bench player. The insurance guy on the team.
I like that.
Best bench player. Insurance commissioner. Cast your vote!
You know, in the vein that we've been talking, I do think that Jamari's going to be the insurance guy this year, the commissioner. He's going to be the guy that's going to come in and bring so much energy off the bench. And that's something that's going to be, you know, it's going to be huge for our team. He may not, you know, defend his position as well as some other people because just, you know, lack of height or whatever, but no one's going to out hustle him out there. And some of that will just be infectious. And I really like him coming off the bench.
Yeah, that's a pretty good ticket. Pretty good ballot, Kevin.
Thank you.
I like it. So there's your election day, ballot. Selden, governor. Sviatoslav, treasurer. Selden, also dog catcher, doing double duty. And Jamari is the insurance commissioner. All right, let's do some legit awards. We do this every year, the preseason Jayhawk Talk Awards. Did we do this before the Big 12? We're going to have to do this again for Big 12.
We will. This is just mostly Big 12 guys. We'll keep it in the family. But I do want to know, you know, we could talk about the all Big 12. I think there's a lot of names out there you can throw out. Obviously, Nyang, Perry Ellis, Marcus Foster, Buddy Hield, Juwan Staten, Isaiah Taylor in Texas, Ryan Spangler is out there as an opportunity. I think, you know, all the Texas guys might cancel each other out, kind of one of those KU problems we've had in the past. We've had a bunch of good players and they kind of cancel each other, but all the Texas bigs might sort of cancel each other out. But anyway, who do you like? Pick five guys. Who is your preseason all Big 12?
Ooh, that's tough. Okay, Juwan Staten, Buddy Hield, Perry Ellis, Georges Niang, and that's tough. I'll go with Jonathan Holmes from Texas.
Okay. I've had it down to Holmes and then Marcus Foster and Isaiah Taylor. I might go with Isaiah Taylor in an outside shot being that Bryce DeGene Jones guy from Iowa State, who's supposedly a crazy scorer. So anyway, there we go. Player of the year in the Big 12.
Niang. No, I'm going to go with Juwan Staten, West Virginia. That's he's going to be the only player. He's going to score 100 points a game. Cause
I agree. The only option. I had Niang down, but it was between those two. And I think you're right. He's going to average like 24 points a game. It's going to be hard not to give it to him. A newcomer of the year. A couple options here, in my opinion. This guy down at Oklahoma played for Houston. Houston changed coaches, trying to get a waiver, transferring to Oklahoma. Tashawn Thomas, if he ends up playing, could be an interesting front line there for Oklahoma. So I think he's in the mix. And then this Bryce DeGene Jones, who transferred to Iowa State as a fifth-year senior transfer. He was the leading scorer for the Running Rebels last year at UNLV and immediately going to start and is probably going to be a great scorer for Iowa State. So those are my two options there. Either of those guys sound good?
I think that those are the big two. Don't really see any other options unless Hunter Mickelson catches fire.
Good point. Freshman of the year.
Two-man race. two-man race, Miles Turner and Cliff Alexander. Cliff Alexander, I think, won the preseason freshman of the year from the coaches. Actually, or did they tie?
I think they tied.
Whatever. Yeah, so it's between those two guys. They're going to have a they're gonna match up at least twice this season, hopefully once the Big 12 tournament. So we're going to get to see them go head-to-head. It's going to be tough. So it's Cliff was the number three overall recruit, and I think Miles Turner was in the top five, depending on what service. So you're going to have some blue chippers going head-to-head on the block. That's going to determine who's going to win freshman of the year.
Cliff, not close. Boom. There you go.
Okay, coach of the year. I see you have written down Fred Hoiberg. I think that's pretty cliche. I'm going to go with Lon Kruger.
Okay, that's cliche too. Like, it was one of those two
that's
guys.
That's not cliche.
I don't know. It kind of is.
Like, it's, if you're not going to pick self, like, you're going to pick Hoiberg.
Or, I honestly think it was those between those three. Anyway, I think you're right. I think it'll come down to Hoiberg or Kruger. Both will have good teams. It's kind of one of those things, like, unless someone comes out of nowhere, like, I don't know, whatever. K-State goes crazy this year or something. You know, they win 13 or 14 games. Then it's pretty obvious. But if it's one of those things where it's going to end up being like 12-6 and 12-6, it's going to end up being like Hoiberg or Kruger. And I think it's one of those two. And they're going to give it over KU, or over Bill Self, and probably over Texas too, because I don't know. That's just what it is. Unless Texas wins the Big 12, and then there might be a little more obvious choice. So we'll see. But they're not going to. Here is a favorite here. Kim English, most hated player of the year.
I think Georges Niang's going to take the cake here.
Yeah, I think so too. I have Marcus Foster as like a close second. But
by the way, I keep saying Georges. Isn't it just George? It's spelled with an S. But yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Niang. What'd you call him? Niang.
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 Yeah, Marcus Foster's going to be close. Maybe these Texas guys can come through and be annoying. But I think as of, you know, preseason, we're looking at preseason, Niang.
All right. Another crowd favorite, the Keaton Page Annoying White Guy Award.
You know, so this has been a legacy. We lost Brady Heslip, which is, you know, he was, you know, a force in this category.
Yeah.
This is like Breaking Bad going off the air and Bryan Cranston not being able to win anymore. Like, this is a completely new territory. But I think it's Phil Forte from Oklahoma State. I think he's going to be the heavyweight in this category for a while.
Yeah, I think you're
right.
That's
tough to say because, you know, he almost came to KU and his dad's a KU guy. But I think it's an honor to be the annoying white guy.
Yeah, it usually means you're good. It usually means you're
making
threes.
You know,
threes.
It's going back to Oklahoma State. You know, the namesake, Keaton Page. Yeah, it's good for it to be back in Stillwater.
Good point. This is another favorite, the Marshall Henderson Awesome Guy Player of the Year. The category here is pretty broad, but, you know, I think, in my opinion, it came down to two people. One, Ryan Spangler from Oklahoma, who I just really like for some reason. He's just kind of one of those, like, big, goofy white kids that plays his ass off and just runs all over the court and rebounds everything. And not a candidate in the Annoying White Guy Award because I kind of respect him a little more than that. I have Kelly Oubre as the winner, and I think it's just the hair, honestly, more than anything. Is that fair?
That's fair. I've got another one to throw out at you. This is going to be surprising, and let me back it up. But I'm going to say the name, I want you to react to it, and then I'm going to give you my explanation.
You got it.
Cliff Alexander.
What?
Yeah.
Did I do it right?
That was a good reaction. Okay. And this is why. I think Cliff Alexander is going to be one of those guys that KU people are going to absolutely love, love this guy. But I think everyone else is going to hate him.
I hope so.
Like, I think that he turns into the Morris twins were kind of like that.
Oh.
You know, absolutely, Marshall Henderson was like that. But he's just going to be like, he's going to do something. Whether it's tear down a basketball goal or do something that's going to be like, gets the KU people just jacked up, and it's going to make everyone else kind of hate him.
Love
so,
it.
Like, that's what I think of when I think of Marshall Henderson. So I think, you just wait for it. Cliff Alexander, we're going to love him, but everybody else is going to hate him.
I like your reasoning. I think Kelly Oubre's got a lot of swagger, and I think he might start something like that too. Not to the point the same, kind of differently. He's going to hit a three, and he's going to like stare somebody down, just because that's just the way he plays, and everyone will love it, and anyone playing against him will hate him. So I think both of those guys have a ton of swagger, way different than what we've seen recently from, you know, like Embiid and Wiggins, who are just, you know, nice, fun-loving guys on the court. These guys play with a little dirty, and, you know, we've been missing that, darn it.
Indeed. All right, this last one is a little bit controversial, but, you know, it's an award we've given out. It's very controversial of who's going to be selected as this award winner. Give us the category, and then give us the winner.
This, of course, is the Scott Drew Ducey Coach of the Year Award.
And it goes to?
I think probably Scott Drew. It's close, right, though. It's always tough. It's like him.
It's not close. It's not close at all.
Okay. We had some contenders last year, if you recall. But
oh, Travis Ford.
Travis Ford's in the category now, so it makes it tough.
But, you know, once again, he's like Bryan Cranston, Breaking Bad. Not going to lose that one.
I mean, you're not going to give it to Tubby. I mean, you're not going to give it to, I don't know. Maybe if, like, Huggy Bear does something stupid, maybe we can give it to him. But there you go. So there you are, Andrew, with the official preseason Jayhawk Talk Awards. We have here on the list a Big 12 preview. I don't think we need to run through this whole thing because we're going to obviously cover a ton of Big 12 hoops as we get going through here. But let's do a quick power rankings of the Big 12 basketball just to get, you know, everyone, you know, as we start to see these games playing out and these preseason tournaments and non-con tournaments made for ESPN, you know, like this Orlando one that we're playing in, you're going to see a ton of these things, and you're going to see Texas and Iowa State and K-State and Oklahoma. And you got to know, okay, who's going to be our competition? So give me
something good to look at, you know, going forward through this non-con.
Yeah.
Just to kind of set our bearings for how this preseason is going to go. I'm going to put KU number one.
Okay.
We were 14-4 last year, lost a lot of guys, bring a lot of guys back. Obviously, that's what we've been talking about. But I think we go for number 11 and pull it off. No ties, no nothing. Pull it off on our own.
I agree, and I think we will unanimously select Texas as number two.
Texas is going to be good. It's going to be some battles down there in Austin and up here in Lawrence. They've got everyone coming back. Isaiah Taylor is their point guard. And they've got kind of a glut of tall players. Jonathan Holmes, obviously, we've seen him play well. Cameron Ridley came into his own. And Miles Turner, who selected Texas over the Jayhawks. That's got to be a scary front court.
Yeah.
Puts them number two. But number three, a little more shaky. But
yeah, it is.
It's kind of becoming this annual thing. This Iowa State team, I think, is number three. Is that where you put them?
I think there's three teams up for grabs here from three through five, pretty close together, all three of them, Iowa State, K-State, and Oklahoma. I struggled between Iowa State and Oklahoma here because I really do like Oklahoma a lot this year, but I'm going to give the edge to Iowa State. I mean, they obviously lost Kane and Edgem, but Yang is back, and then they got a whole host of transfers once again. For some reason, the mayor just gets these guys playing together. He's very good at that. They got Morris back at point guard. And then they got, of course, the previously mentioned Bryce DeJean-Jones from UNLV. 6'5 guard. Going to be a monster, I think, for them. And pairing him with Edgem, I think they're going to be really good. So I got them three. Do you have them at 3-2? Is that what you're going with?
I think so.
All right. So next up, I have Oklahoma. Spangler, as we mentioned, in the front court, kind of a 10-10 guy, but it's really a big question mark whether they get to Sean Thomas, as we mentioned, from Houston. He averaged like 15-10 last year at Houston. If he gets a waiver to play immediately, I think they're going to be really good, and you know, so good in fact that I think they'll, you know, talk the way into you know, top three in the Big 12 category. Do you have them as four, or do you give K-State the nod?
I think OU over K-State.
Agreed. So who do you got next?
So if we're going KU, Texas, Iowa State, OUK State. After that, it gets a little murky. I think I'm going to go Oklahoma State, the Cowboys from Stillwater, just because they've got some guys coming back. The LeBryan Nash, everybody thought was going to be a one-and-done freshman player.
Yeah.
Here for his senior year,
played
pretty well with Marcus Smart, but now it's his team. I think that he's going to be able to lead that team to a decent record in the Big 12, but it's still middle of the pack.
I agree with you. Next up, I had a tough time between Baylor and West Virginia. I gave the nod to Baylor barely. They have somewhat of a rebuilding year, at least in terms of talent. You know, it's kind of last few years, Scott Drew down there has had a ton of talent, and you keep going, man, these guys are going to compete for the Big 12, and then they end up not because, Scott Drew, and then anyway, this year it's a little different team. So it will be interesting to see if, maybe without a ton of superstars, they can mold together and become a team. Jonathan Motley is a name to watch here, kind of a wild card down low. But I have West Virginia next. And this was a fascinating team to watch in the offseason because they looked like they were going to have a killer team returning. Didn't you agree?
I think so. Everybody was saying that. But next year, this team. Next year, this team's going to be great. Watch out.
Well, then everybody left. Yeah, what, like three transfers or something ridiculous? One thing about it, he did have some nice pieces come in to replace him. And they still got Juwan Staten. So it'll be close there. They could be the kind of the surprising team, I guess, to me. In the Big 12, as an opportunity from one of these lower ranked teams to move up, I give West Virginia the nod. Texas Tech, last up here, Tubby Smith, got him playing a little better last year. Friend of the podcast, our guy Brian Haney down there calling Texas Tech games will be back with us again to talk some Tech hoops. But he's bullish on these guys. He thinks they're going to be pretty good. At least better, continuing to get better. They won 6 games last year, which was an improvement, and I see him winning a few more than that this year. Not many more, but a couple. What do you
think
there?
And then to close it out, TCU. I think they've got some pieces around, but I don't know if those pieces are going to be able to. They went 0-18 last year.
Are they going to win a game this year?
Yes, they are.
I think they will, too. There you go.
Not against KU, though.
Hope not.
Okay, right. So got a great season ahead of us. Obviously, stay tuned with the Jayhawk Talk podcast. We will have tons of basketball coverage. We'll be doing a lot more podcasts, a little more fast and furiously, as Vin Diesel would say. But
is that what he'd say?
Would he say that? I don't got friends.
I got family.
That's what
he'd say.
So lots of basketball coverage. But, Kevin, let's close out on a little bit different story. Not as joyful, but still interesting and still something to keep your eye on. That is KU football.
Woo!
It's been tough to watch this past month. Obviously, our last podcast was a rundown of potential head coaching candidates. Something that we're going to have to keep our eye on. Especially going forward, because we could get a coach hired, maybe within the month, but more likely in early December. But this week, we play Iowa State at home.
Mm.
And this is the prodigal son returning to Lawrence, and that is Marcus Mangino.
Hello.
Back in Lawrence. Is he here for revenge, or is this just a normal game? But in any case, it is our best shot to win a game the rest of the year.
It's always one of those things. Iowa State, KU, you go, hey, at least Iowa State's still on the schedule. But you know who's saying the same damn thing? Everyone in Ames. And sure enough, I happened to, just for fun at work today, because I was bored, tuned in to an Iowa State podcast, Andrew. What do you think of that?
Why did you?
Okay, it was only 5 minutes.
Are there Iowa State fans who tune into this because they're bored at work one day?
Probably not. I think that has more to say about me than anything. But it was pretty entertaining because here were a few quotes that came out of that podcast. Quote one, Both teams are bad, but one is excruciatingly bad, and that is KU. Okay, there was quote one. Quote two, it is a crucial game. No way, shape, or form can you lose to Kansas. Quote number three, if Iowa State does not win, the vocal fan base will be going after Paul Rhodes. It's year six. You can't lose to Kansas. That's true. And the last one. I know. It didn't feel like he hasn't been that long. Anyway, the last one. This is my favorite. KU has always been the gold standard for horribleness in the Big 12. If you lose to them, now you're the standard. Kansas will be ahead of you in the Big 12 standings.
That's right. This is where we turn it around. This is where we get rid of that gold standard label and pass it off to Iowa State.
Yes.
Everybody get out there to Memorial Stadium. And let's lose this gold standard label. Let's give it to them. Be done with it. Let's start this program over. And we don't have to deal with this again. That's my rah-rah speech taken from the words from those Iowa State podcast folks.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give it to them. Get a good head coach hired and not have to deal with this ever again.
Well, you know, in reality, Bowen probably needs to win this game. He probably needs to win at least one game. If he goes win, you know, 0-for on the rest of his games since he took over, it's tough to sell. I mean, everyone can still give him a break, you know, not his guys and blah, blah, blah. And they're playing harder and whatever. But he needs a win. He really needs a win. And even if it's just, I don't know, 13-10, at least it'll be a win. It's something he can hold his hat on. And because I don't think he's going to get one the rest of the season. This is it. So a big game for, you know, all around for Iowa State, for Paul Rhodes, for Clint Bowen, for Mangino, for KU fans. Lose the gold standard of what do we call it? Gold standard of horribleness. Interesting choice of words.
Let's pass that off. Let's get rid of that title. Let's give it to them like it deserves. It deserves to be in Ames.
Andrew, Iowa State is a 3.5-point favorite on the road. Tell me, what is your prediction for this game?
KU 17, Iowa State 14.
Really? All right. We've been through this before. You and I have predicted that
Iowa State did this before. This was last year. Last year, right?
It felt like KU was going to win this game, and then we stormed out.
Stormed out with the black jerseys, right? We busted out the black jerseys.
Just destroyed.
Then, yeah, that was the low point.
I feel like we've been here before, and I'm not going to get caught twice or three times or 10 times. I think Iowa State wins this game, unfortunately. I think it's going to end up being something like 27-20, Iowa State. I hope not. I really hope not. I don't care what it is. If it's 6-3, I hope we win the game because we got to get a win. We got to do it. So there you go, Andrew. KU football, rah-rah. Mangino returns. Maybe, you know, Mangino returning is what we need. We need a little something. We need a little spike and a little luck. Maybe Mangino rubbing off on Memorial Stadium one more time will bring us back. So there you go. That's all I got on my piece of paper. Let's get out of here and watch some riveting election coverage. It won't be decided until...
Wayne Seldon for Dog Catcher. Wayne Seldon for Dog Catcher.
All right, let's get out of here. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate it. We ran a little long today, but we had so much to cover. We're so excited. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. I am Kevin. He is Andrew. We'll talk to you then. Peace out. Rock you. Jayhawk fans for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it because we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them. Every time we on the court, I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real.
Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us fearing, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the final four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court, so we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together, but win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man, but one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
Alright, Lindsay's calling me first. Hi, Lindsay.
Jayhawk.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Kevin.
We elected Wayne Selden to dog catcher.
The what?
Dog catcher.
Wayne Selden for dog catcher. Wayne Selden for dog catcher.